still not finished with Tsar. Tsar, Sidon and Tsar take up a lot of thought in the mind of Chazal. And we learned yesterday there's so much repetition. Tsar is mentioned in Yirmiyah, it's mentioned in Yeshaya, it's mentioned over here. We mentioned before that there are so many different layers of destruction. The time of destruction that took place during the time of Chizkiyahu by Sancheiriv. There was the second destruction that took place during the time of Nebuchadnezzar. And then there's a later destruction that took place at the time of Parasumodai, or possibly during the time of, at a later point in time. It's not exactly very clear.
Hiram
was the Melech of Tsar.
Yeah, I know.
And also of Tzidon, of David and Shlomo. Hiram is mentioned together with David and Shlomo. David also is mentioned. And they were, from the very beginning, meant to be partners in the building of the Beis HaMikdash.
But in terms of the destruction of Tsar,
yes.
Around, let's say, at the first destruction?
Well, the Gemara said at the first destruction, he built for himself an island. Chazal said he lived a very, very long time.
Yes. And when did he live? And he was singled out for having the
arrogance
to deify himself, and that's what brought the downfall of Tsar.
Correct. The nusach of the bracha of Asher Yotzar. Okay, we say every day, multiple times, Asher Bara Nikovim, Nikovim, Chalalim, Chalalim, Golui, Vidul of Nechisech Vedecha, those expressions come from the Targum of, I think it's in Yirmiyah, regarding Melech, of Chiroim Melech Tsar. The Medrash says, when Hashem looked, he reflected upon this creature, that this person, Chiroim, Hashem says the gaiva is off the charts. I never can contemplate there can be a human being in this world that could have such extreme arrogance. And therefore, at the time of creation, I created in man the nikovim nikovim. I created the system, the digestive system includes a process of releasing waste. And waste, there's nothing more disgusting in this world than human excrement. And all of this was created because of Chiram. It almost sounds in the words of Chazal that if not for the arrogance of Chiram, Hashem would not necessarily have made it that man has to release waste and have a collection of nikovim, nikovim, holes, orifices in the body which released waste. Because this is something which is a humiliating experience. For a person to go to the Beis HaKisei and to produce waste, we don't think about it, we take it for granted. We have today the most beautiful, spectacular bathrooms today. People spend more money on their bathroom than any other part of their house. So we don't really relate to this. But I guess maybe in ancient times when you had to go to an outhouse and it was disgusting, the odor and just the whole discomfort, and to realize, to reflect upon what is a human being, it is a very humbling experience if we really think about it. And Hashem created this humbling experience, this reality, in response to recognizing that there will one day be a human being by the name of Chiroim Melech Tsar, whose arrogance is just so inflated, it shook up the Bria creation to demand that there can't be compensation, that man humiliate himself by going to the Beis HaKisei. And therefore, that and the Nusach, Asher Yotzar Eso Adam B'Chochmo, Nikovim, Nikovim, Chalulim, Chalulim, is actually drawn from the Targum. If you look in Sefer Yirmiyah, it's mentioned, it's cross-referenced over here somewhere, one in the first, maybe in Rashi, I forgot, the Radak. It's cross-referenced. The Targum there actually uses those words. When Hashem saw his arrogance, Hashem made in man these openings to humble man. It's very good for this parasha. You know, you contrast Chiram against the most humble, the humblest of men in the world, and that is Moshe Rabbeinu, Ish Moshe, Anav Me'od Mikol Ha'adam Hashal Pnei Ha'adamah. So you have Chiram. He is one end of the spectrum, and Moshe is the other end of the spectrum. Now Moshe, that also maybe also reflects in Moshe, he went to Shemayim Mayim lo yachalti lechem lo yishastisi. Moshe did not need to eat. The person does not need to eat. Did not need to eat. There is no waste. And likewise, Klal Yisrael for 40 years in the Midbar, they ate the man, and the man is lechem abirim, and lechem abirim, the man was only in the zechus of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, that's what Chazal said. There's the ma'an, the be'er, and the anani akava. The anani akava is the zechus of Aaron. The be'er is the zechus of Miriam. The man is in the zechus of Moshe. And what did Chazal tell us about the man in this week's parasha? The man did not produce waste. So therefore, there was basically, for 40 years in the desert, there was no need for man to have a Beis HaKisei, or to have the Nikovim, Chalolim. All in the Zechus of Moshe, who provided the man. And who is Moshe? Moshe is the Anav Me'od Mikol HaAdam. How does the Anav come to relate to not needing to go to the Beis HaKisei? Well, let's look at the contrast. Look at the extreme opposite, Chirom, the extreme Baal Gaiva, and it's only because of Chirom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make man have this humiliating experience of releasing this disgust, this filth, this needing to have the Nikovim. Okay, so this is an idea that relates to Chirom. So Chirom is obviously a very complex person. Some even want to suggest this is a midrash, and I don't know if it can be possible. Maybe you want to say they know things that we don't know. That Chiram was the friend of Yehuda. Yehuda had a friend. His name was Chiram Ishuadulami.
Yeah.
Now, it's not spelled the same way. The spelling is a little bit different. The spelling is slightly, I don't remember the details, but some want to suggest is that there is some type of connection between the two. Was it the same person? It's almost impossible. How could a person live for 2,000 years, right? Or 1,500 years? Impossible. Or maybe you want to go say that's exactly why Chaim was so arrogant. Chazal do say he lived a very, very long time. He built himself this artificial spaceship. He lived in the water. He was floating on the water. Some type of very, very bizarre mystical midrashim telling us that Chiram, he lived in his own little world. He built for himself his own little world, a spaceship out in the middle of nowhere. Maybe he had technology, he had knowledge, he had chokhmah, he was able to do certain things that we do not know. He was able to perfect his body where he would not need to die. Look at today. Look, today they say that it's a very real chance that babies born today, not only will they never learn how to drive a car, besides that, they're never going to learn how to drive a car because by the time they become 20 years old, 18 years old, everything will be driverless cars. But there's a very real possibility that they will live for, who knows, 150 years. Because at the rate the technology, the advance in science are going, cures for various different diseases are going, there's a very real possibility that children are born today, they can live, who knows, they can live forever. I mean, forever, but they can live for a very, very long time. It says in the Pasuk that man's their lifespan is 120 years old. There are a lot of kashas in the Torah. There are a lot of psukim that you have to understand and not to be taken literally in the Torah what exactly that means. Because we don't find men living today 120 years old. We find men living today a lot less. And not a lot less, but less. The Mishnah says when a person is 100 years old, it's as if he's dead. He ilu meis. You don't have to die to die. You just have to reach 100 years old.
Society treats you as
it's ki'ilu. Oh, so you want to say an idea. It doesn't mamish mean. It means ki'ilu. It means, what exactly does that mean? Because you always hear on the news. Oh, it's becoming more and more common. More and more common of this person. He's 118 years old, 113 years old, and they ask him, what's the secret to life? And what's this? You know, you see this more and more. All right, so in any event, so that is a very good point of discussion, and also we have to keep in mind that the Chiram is a very significant player in this one because he, as we said yesterday, he was the major partner in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. He, Shlomo and David could not do it on their own. They needed his assistance, they needed the raw materials that came from Sidon and Tsar, and they needed his skills, his craftsmen, and that contributes to their Churban. Is that they should have had more sensitivity to the Beis HaMikdash, and being that they were partners in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and yet they rejoiced, they relished the Korban, because now all the wealth of Yerushalayim would come to them. And we also cannot deny the fact that we have this medrash that he said over the Imola HaCharava, which is such a basic principle in Yadus, Mila'om Yematz, One that Kishazer Kam Zer Neufel, and this principle is really applied primarily to Edom, not even to Tsar, and yet it's not written in regard to Edom. It's written here in the Psukim in reference to Chiroim, Tsar, and Sidon, which the Chazal Darsh and Yerushalayim V'Kesari, we take these two names, and this is Edom. And yet we are telling, Chazal are telling you, the roots of Edom are found in Chiroim Melech Tsar. And see, that's what it says. I mean, how else are you going? You can't deny that. Okay, so we're up to Pasuk Tezvav. Okay, up to Perichavav. We're up to Pasuk Tezvav. We're not yet finished. There's still more Psukim describing the obliteration of Tsar. Ko Yamar Hashem Elokim L'Tsar. So says Hashem to Tsar. Halo Mikol Ma Paltech. Is due to the sound of your fall, the enoik cholol, when the dead, the cholol means the people who are being killed by the sword, they are enoik, they are crying. When people will hear your downfall, when people will hear the cry of your victims being killed by the sword, behoreg hereg besoichek. When the nations hear about murder, death taking place within you, Yirashu Choyim, the islands will shake, they'll shudder. When people are going to hear reports, they're going to read in the news, they're going to watch videos online and see what has happened to Tsar, how the nation has collapsed, how the dead are crying, how people are being murdered in the street, all of the neighboring Iyim, the islands surrounding Tsar, are going to shudder. Let's see the Mitzudos of Pasuk Tes Vav. Mikol ma paltech, mikol hayotze ba'olam al ma paltech, the voice, the report that goes forth to the world regarding your downfall, the eis ye onchu bach, when the dead of you, when the victims of you, chalalecheda ve'eis yehargu bach heregraf, when the victims, when they're stabbed, and they cry out in pain, Oz Yirashu the Yechridu Kol Yoshe Iye Hayam ki Yifchadu Shlo Yikre Lohem Kim Mikrech. Everyone's gonna be worried about their own hide. They're gonna be worried, we're next, we're just as guilty as Tsar, and we have what to worry about. Let's see what it says there. There's no Rashi and Radak. I believe there's no Radak either, and maybe there is a short Radak. Koyama Hashem Mapaltech Mapeles Haharugim. When they hear about the fall of the dead, the enoik cholol kmo ye enoik cholol. Pasuk in Yirmiyah, the enkas hacholol hi yitzias nishmasai. So he says a little more detail than what the Mitzvah says. This is an expression that describes yitzias haneshama. The neshama leaves, and there is a cry. Hi yitzias haneshmasai me hakone bekol be'es moso, from the esophagus, I guess a cry comes out at the time of death. The roar of those that have been pierced by the sword. Okay, that, we're going to skip the other two radas because those focus on grammar. Let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Tes Zayin. I just want to warn you about this. I didn't really prepare all that much. I did prepare. I have a lot of things marked off over here. I don't agree very much with it because I got caught up in preparing for the Chumash, so you'll help me along a little bit. Pasuk Tes Zayin. Pasuk Tes Zayin. Yod Miyal Kis Eisam called Nisi'e Hayam. When they hear, when the nations hear what has happened to the nation of Tsar, they're going to get off their thrones. All of the Nisi'e Hayam, all of those who ride upon the sea. And then this is an island, so all the people who are on their ships, all the people who have positions of leadership upon the sea. Okay, we'll see what it means in a moment. When it means in a moment in the Mitzudos, those the Nisi'e Hayam, the Hesiru Esmi Lehem, the Espide Rik Masam, they will take off their hats, the Mi'il, their garments, their fancy garments, the Espide Rik Masam, and their embroidered garments, Yif. Shaitu, they will remove, they will strip. Charados yilbashu al charados charados yilbashu al pikama. They will dress themselves in terror. They will shake. It's as if they are enveloped in a state of terror. Al haaretz yeshevu, they will sit on the earth. V'chardu lirgoim, and they will shake. at every moment. The shamamu alayich, and they will be in a state of shamama, of bewilderment regarding you, relating to what has happened to you. Let's see all this in much more detail. It's a very hard pasuk. Obviously, let's see some more detail in the Mitzvah Stav pasuk. To Zion, the Yardu, Ba'avur Tsar Va'avelos. When all of the neighbors hear what has happened to Tsar, they will descend from their thrones. All of those who are Nisi'e Hayam. He doesn't translate that over here in the Mitzvah Stav. I guess it just means those that have positions. Those that are uplifted upon the sea, those who have positions of authority in among these islands, yiyu misubavim b'charada, and then the next words go on. They will take off their garments and their fancy clothing. They will remove, and then it says charados yulbashu yiyu misubavim b'charada. They will surround themselves, so they will be enveloped with terror, similar to a garment that envelops a person. Kimalbush hamisavev es haguf, like a garment envelops the body. The chardu lirgomen. What does this mean? Bechol rega, every single moment, constant. They will think about what has happened, and they will shake. Bechol rega yosifu bacharada. Veshamu olecha yismuhu. They will be in a state of timahon, of bewilderment. Yismuhu b'timhoin levav al mapalteich. They'll be in shock, and it will get to them. Here, let's see Rashi. Rashi elaborates. Pasik tezayin v'chardu lirgoim. So he translates lishvorim into broken piece. He translates not like the Mitzudos, it seems. And he's going to explain, he's going to give proof to his interpretation. The word rega means into pieces. Let's review. According to the Mitzudos, the word rega means a moment. Rega. In Israel, right? That's one of the most popular words in Israel. You start screaming at someone and they go, rega, rega. Right, you ever had that wonderful experience? Rega. So that's really what the Mitzudos stuff it says. It means moment. Every moment you will shake. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says the word lirgoim, it's a borrowed term which means pieces. You will be shattered, you will be torn to pieces. Lishvorim. Now, what does that mean exactly? I think from experience, you know what this means. It means in life, the success comes in life when you are able to stamina. You're able to, think about this, how long can you concentrate without being distracted? Think about that. I personally, I don't think I can go more than 20 seconds. And even that's too long. You're just keen, there's always things, something is bothering you, or whatever, all different reasons. So you start learning, you learn a Daf Gemara, you learn a Pasuk, and you read a few words, and you look at the Mefarish, and then a thought pops into your mind, and then you think about it for a little bit, and then you go back, and that process is a vicious cycle which goes on the entire day. People who are very successful are able to control their minds and don't have those distractions. They're able to go and think on a thought, on an idea, for minutes. Even going for a few minutes is pretty good. Going for half an hour, that's off the charts. What? Focus. You're able to stay focused for a very, very long time. Now some people will tell you it's to depend upon your chemical balance in the mind, and medications and all these things can, it's maybe it's true or not, but when if something is bothering you, if there's something that's in your life that's bothering you, all the medicines and all the different things that you can fill your blood up with, you can inject, it's not going to help you. I mean, it'll help you to some degree, but if something is bothering you, there's going to be distractions, and you're not going to be able to concentrate on something for a very, very long time. I told you this many, many times, it's a very famous story with the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish once saw two bachurim battling. They were not learning, they were battling, and he said to them, he called them over, and he explained to them, this is recorded, he said to them that it is impossible for a person to enjoy learning unless at least he learns continuously without any distraction for 2 hours. The first 2 hours that you're learning, your mind is still just getting used to the environment. And then the Chazon Ish goes on, it's very uncharacteristic for the Chazon Ish to do something like this, or in general, he goes on to explain in very great detail the sensation you feel hour 3, hour 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I think go all until 12 or 13 hours. I mean, it's just shocking. And this is written up. I actually have a photocopy of this at home somewhere. Sean gave this to me, a photocopy of this, and he told these boys, 2 hours, it's nothing. It's a joke. You're not going to have any tainug in learning. 3 hours, already your mind begins to open up. 4 hours, this. And every hour that you continue to learn undistracted, your mind opens up more and more, and you sense a degree of pleasure from learning. When a person is unable to do that because something is bothering him, every single moment is a rega. It's a moment. So what is a rega? It's a shavur. It's a broken piece of time. Rashi and the Mitzudos are not really arguing. They're really saying the same thing. When something is bothering you, you'll be terrified into pieces. What are the pieces? The pieces of time that you would ideally like to paste together, connect together, to have a cohesive unit of time where you can accomplish something significant, is not going to be available because you are terrified. We all know Tzu Rabbi Akiva. Everyone knows Tzu Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva came back after 12 years and he heard his wife, someone harassing his wife. What kind of husband do you have? He abandons you for 12 years. So she says, if it was up to me, I would let him go back and learn for another 12 years. That's all he needed to hear. He made an about face, and he went back to the Beis Medrash for another 12 years. So all the Farshim asked the question, so why? He's already at the front door. Why couldn't he just walk in and say, hello, how are you? I heard you gave me permission to go for another 12 years, so I'm out the door. But once I'm ready at the front door, let me say hello to you. And the answer is, Ein Doimer, 2 times 12 to 1 times 24. If he would stop and talk to his wife now, there would be a distraction. He would lose that consistency. He would lose that momentum. And then when he would go back, it would just be 2 times 12. But if he would be able to go back immediately, it would be one cohesive unit of 24 years, which is Ein Doimer to 2 units of 12. So you see this idea that being able to have a continuous a span of time concentrating on one inyan is what brings success. And here, when there's terror, that's impossible. The chardu lirgoim lishvarim, broken pieces. Pen yavoy aleihem. Why were they terrified? They were afraid that they're next on the chopping block. Gamhem kishivrech. They will be broken the same way Tsar was broken. Then he goes on to explain in much more detail to prove his idea. Lir Goim is Lashon Shever, a broken piece. Kimo Roga Hayom. So there we have the word Roga, Rega. And what does it mean? Roga means the broken parts, the broken sections split. Of the split. Roga Hayom, the Yam split. And the Yam split into different pieces by Kriyas Yamsuf and the crossing of the Yarden. Roga Hayom. Oyri Roga, I don't know what that means. I don't remember. We went to eat. I don't know what that means. Oyri Roga.
Split.
What? Wake up?
My skin split.
Okay. Oyri, my skin, Roga has split. Different pieces. Al Rigi Eretz, the broken pieces of the earth. Al Daki, which means Daki Eretz, which is translated there to mean the Daki, the broken pieces of the earth. Period. Now we come to the parish of the Mitzudos, which is the second parish of Rashi. Menachem parish, Lashon Rega. Kimo rega be'apo. Hashem only gets angry for a moment. It's only momentary, so that's exactly what that is the preferred interpretation of the Mitzudos. So two interpretations of the word rega. Next, Rishamu Loshem Timohon.
How long is a rega?
How long is a rega?
Bilam.
Kalein.
That's what the
Rabbi
complains about.
Yeah.
Rega
koton
azaftir. It's 1,000 years.
So what's going on?
That's
it's relative. It's all relative. What it means? What does it mean? A shah? Yofesh shah achas. A Torah of Meisim Toyim Ba'al Mazal. What does it mean? A shah? So it all depends. It all depends on the context. Sometimes it means an hour. Sometimes it means a period of time, a week, a day, a month. It means a moment.
Relative.
A moment. It's all relative to the context. Okay, so this is Rashi Radak Pasik Tezayin V'Yardu Ho'inin Hazekula Kuloi Ki Yifchadu Al Atzmam. It's selfishness. All these sukkim tell us that the nations will be terrified. It's only for they don't really couldn't care less about Tsar. Who cares about them? Good for them. Let them be destroyed. It's all selfish reasons that maybe they're next. Ki Yifchadu Al Atzmam Ki Yomru Ir Gedoyla V'Secheres Kazois Charva. The Eich Na'amoid Anachlo. If this is what happened to the mighty nation of Tsar, what hope is there left for us, our little humble nation? The Chardu Lirgoim. They will be terrified. Lishaos. He's learning the Mitzudos. Moments.
Okay.
Ulirugaim klamar tamid. They will continuously, every single moment of their existence, they will think about this and they will feel despair. The yoinasam tergim viyizuun. They will shake min kadam tivarhon, because they're afraid that they will also be broken. Because they're afraid the kadam means it's coming in front of them, a brokenness, which basically means, he translates the word rega, like Rashi's first interpretation, it means into broken pieces. Pasuk Yud Zayin, next Pasuk Yud Zayin says, V'nasu alayich kina, and the nations of the world, will express a lament. Tishabov, V'nasolach kina, the Amru Lachem, they'll say about you, Eich avadit. How in the world did it come about such a thing that you were destroyed? Neisheves miyam, the one that was settled. If there was any island, any nation that we can view as being settled and established and secure, it was none other than Tsar, the one that's neisheves miyamim. Ho'ir ha'hu lola, the city that is full of praise, that is praised, it is most respected, it is most praiseworthy. Asher ho'itzeh chazoka v'ayam, it was the strongest of the sea nations. Hi v'yoshveha, asher nosnu chitisam l'chol yoshveha, they instilled their fear, their terror upon all of its inhabitants. In other words, they were supreme. They were dominant. They were the world power. No one would have imagined that this nation has all different expressions, was praiseworthy, was strong. It is the one that instilled terror upon all of the inhabitants of the citizens and other nations. How could happen such a thing over here that it has suffered such a stunning defeat? Rashi, Mitzudos Pasuk Yitzayin, says, V'nasu yarimu alayach kolkinav yarimu alayach eich ne'evadet ir hamiyushevis b'chois agrav min ha'mayim asher siva. How did it happen that the city that was established from all the islands in its vicinity, chazoka v'ayam, ha'chazoka mikol ha'erim ha'yoshivim v'ayam, it was the strongest city of all the cities of all the islands, hi v'yoshvech, he ha'isa chazoka b'avur ha'yam, ha'sava, this was to its advantage. The fact that it was surrounded by water was a advantage. It was a military advantage. And its inhabitants, they were very mighty. No one would dare start up with Tsar, because they're the ones who instilled their fear in all of the other nations. Rashi pasuk miyudzayin leshevis bayamim yesh mekdin. Rafe, some do not have a dot. In the word, noishevis. We don't have a dot. We don't have a dot in any of the letters. Rafe upayshim miyushevis miyamim kad mynim. I'm sorry. The word miyamim. We're not going on the word. The word miyamim. I translated until now as the Mitzvot state as the most settled of the islands in the seas. Of the Yamim. Who says the word Miyamim means the seas? Maybe the word Miyamim means the days. Yomim. Yomim Rishonim, the earlier days. So indeed, if you want to say the words Yomim, take the dot out of the mem. As you all know, this is not my thing. Why the dot makes a difference? It's a different word, different form of the word. It would then mean days. Yesh Noikdim Rafe, we do not have a dot. From time immemorial, Tsar was well established, it was secure. No one would have imagined that this would happen to Tsar. The Yesh Noikdim Dogesh, some put a dot in the mem. Upaishrim Miyushevis Bachoska Al Yide Yamim. The seas that surround this island is what brought it security. It did not share land with another nation. I guess that is viewed as a weakness. If you have land and you have a boundary with another nation, so the other nation can just come over the boundary and attack and steal your land. But if you are surrounded on all four sides, 360 degrees, by water, that gives you a military, defensible borders. Ali de yamim hasavim lo v'chein tikim yedison v'cheinu. So that's how he prefers. They put a dot in the mem, and therefore it means the seas. Asher nosnuchi tisam sevivoy sam. They instill their terror around their surroundings. L'chol hayoshvim. The word chitisam, ramchol, you know what that word is?
Yeah.
French word, it must mean something like terror, right? Terror?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see then the Radak Pasuk Yedzayin, we have a long Radak here. Vinasu, they will lift up a kina over this nation, and they'll say, how did it happen that this nation that was the Yeshevis Miyamim, ki mehaschayroiz, shahayu ba'os elecho derech yayam, nisyashva ve'olsa b'malah. So he has a new twist on why they, it doesn't refer to defensible borders. It refers to travel routes. It was a hub. Being that it's surrounded by water, that means any nation can travel to this destination. If you have a nation that's in the middle of the land, so how are you going to get there? You want to go to Texas? Not so easy. You know, you have to go. Oh, there was really against. No, there. Somewhere in the middle of the country. Really, it's hard to get there. You have to go. You have to first come to the border, and then you have to go travel over a long piece of land to reach your destination. But if you're surrounded by water, it's very easy to reach this destination. That's in ancient times when there was no planes. This was a requirement to become a center of commerce, to be a place where it's easy to reach, and that is an island. Derech yam nisyashu v'olta b'mal l'vama b'yam l'oshin rabim k'lema yam yom okyanus, the Mediterranean, the Yam Suf, the Yom Maravi, okay, the Yam Suf, I guess down by Egypt, the Yom Maravi, what's the Yom Maravi? I don't know what the Yom Maravi is. But what's the Okyanus? The Atlantic. Okay, the Okyanus, the Atlantic, so that's very, they knew about the Atlantic. They really knew about the Atlantic? How much they knew about the Atlantic? That was the end of the world. No, they knew about the Atlantic?
No. Okyanus is also the Mediterranean.
Oh, right, exactly. Right, right.
So my whole difference
the Western Sea is like the direction Yombo.
Yeah.
Means westward.
Yeah.
The Mediterranean.
He says there are three rivers. I don't know what they are. Three rivers. The Yom Okyanus, which we normally refer to the Mediterranean. The Atlantic is a very big mystery in ancient times. What is the Atlantic? They view the Atlantic as being the end of the world. That's where the world comes to an end. You go off the deep end, you go into the Atlantic Ocean. It wasn't until modern times, Columbus, you know, until they who knows, maybe...
You know, that's what it says, the end of what he says. He went to the end of the world. It means he went to, like, the mouth of Gibraltar. That's
what comes.
The end.
Okay. Then it says that the Yom Okyanus, the Yam Suf. Yam Suf is down south. That's somewhere in Mitzrayim. They left the tribe through the Yam Suf. The Yom Maravi, I don't know what that is. That's also some river, whatever that is. It's not the Okyanus, it's saying. Ushar Hayamim, all of these three rivers somehow they channeled into, or they had passed, leading to Tsar. Ki derech kulam hayu boim elecha soicharim. Through all of these routes, nations would come to do business, and that's why it means over here that it was established. It doesn't mean that it's established as being a military stronghold. It means it has been established with wealth, the financial center of the world, because everyone, every airline has a hub, every airline stops over in Tsar. The Yoinusam Tirgim the Hava Yoswa Begoy Yam Maya, same thing, is established in the seas. Next, for Ir Hahulala, this city that was praised, Hahe Bimakim Asher, Ha'ir Asher. The first hey is in place, a placeholder for the word Asher ki lo tova hey hayidia be'ovrim. It's not a hey hayidia when it comes to a verb. You don't use a hey hayidia when it comes to a verb. V'chein v'chol ha-hikdish Shmuel. It means Asher. Kemo Asher hikdish. Asher hoysa chazaka bayam. Rotsa loymar be'i hayam among the islands. Hayam, Chayisa Hicha Chazaka Shabuchem, Ha'ir Chayisa Chazaka Bebinyan, Vechin Yashua Chazakim, the people who lived there were very strong people. V'yodas and Tergim, Dahava Yasa B'tkoif Yama, in the strong section of the sea. Asher Nasnu Chitisam L'chol Yashvecha, Meirov Chazkam Nasnu Chitisam U'moira'am L'chol Yashayam. Everyone was terrified of them. V'zach Hayam L'asha Nikeva, K'mo Shama Gam Kein V'es Hayam Harid Me'al Habakar Anachosh Asher Tachtecha. Okay, that means sometimes it's Nekev, sometimes it's Zachar. B'nai Santergim, Echdein is Mesaru, Lisvar, Kol Yos. I don't know what this means.
Perish. All her inhabitants were delivered to destruction.
Perish Kina Yoshvero Litzar al Derech Rechaikav. So they were the Balabat, they were in charge. One more Pasik. Ata Yech Ridu. I mean, in this section, Ata now. Yech Ridu Ho'iyin. Now this is a funny word. Yeah. It really should say ho'yin with a mem. So here it's just a play, whatever it is. We used to sometimes exchange the nun for the mem. All of the islands in its vicinity were terrified. On the day of your collapse, v'nefhalu ho'yin, and they were terrified. Asher bayam mitzeisech, from your departure from being a player in the world stage. There is so much repetition saying this same idea over and over again. I have really no idea why is there all this repetition. Obviously it refers to different dimensions of its destruction, or perhaps different forms of destruction, or different times of destruction. It was destroyed and recovered, destroyed, recovered, but ultimately it was destroyed to the point where it never recovered, and therefore there is so much repetition describing different periods of time. That's what some of the Mefarshim want to say. I saw that somewhere, why there is so much repetition here in reference to the Churban of Tzar. Yudches in the Mitzvah Stavid says, Yechridu ho'iyin, Yoshre ho'iyin, Yechridu b'yom apalosech, the islands, they shook. On the day when you collapse, meet say seich mimasha yotza v'nevat v'nevat, from this that you have departed as being a nation in the world. Rashi, pasuk yitches ho'iyin kimo ho'iyim. We can exchange the nun for a mem, or mem from the nun. It's the same. And it was over here in my parish, the sifse zekanin. He gives the classic example, miketz ha'yomin. Now what does that mean? Likates means the end of days.
Right.
Doesn't mean the end of the right hand. What? Likates hayomim. So even though it's spelled there with a nun, Likates hayomim, it's interpreted as if there is a mem, Likates hayomim. Here too, it's yin, it's as if it says cho yim. Mitzeisech, mitzioseich, vagoyla. So he over here, Rashi is very interesting. It's not like what it says in the Ritzudos. It means your departure into Golos, which means there are survivors. Maybe they'll live. Another day. They'll one day survive and reestablish themselves. But if you want to learn Mitzvah, means your departure from this world, there's no return. Let's see the Radak. Pasuk Yuches Ha'ayim. So he's a little bit of grammar here. Ha'ayim is B'yud. Achas Levad is one Yud. V'hanun v'makay mem v'chein l'keitz hayomin k'mo hayomin, it means their days as if there was a mem. V'tirgim yonasan parvoraya, these means islands. V'chein tirgim yirashu ho'iyim l'mala aval v'nifhalu ho'iyim asher bayam, tirgim v'nagvosa divyama. There has a different translation. There are two yuds and there's a mem. I don't know what this means. It basically saying over here that it's not always the same. It's similar. So the plural is repeats the yod. And then there's a mem. But he's saying something more. He seems to be saying over here is that when you have the word called iyin, iyin is not the same thing as iyim. He seems to be saying is that one is like a suburb and one is an island. An island is iyin with a nun and one yud. A suburb that surrounds a major city is also called...
I don't know why you have to go that far. I mean, there are numerous other island nations, Cyprus, Crete, and all the Aegean islands.
All right. So, whatever. So, there are different. He just wants to point out that here we have a one yud and a nun, and you should be aware that elsewhere the word is spelled in the very same pasuk. It says have both. It says ho'iyim with two yuds and a mem, and indeed it may refer to a different type of island. Pasuk yutes. When I destroy you into a city that's been destroyed, I'm going to transform you into a location as if it never existed. There will be no zecher that you ever existed. Be'ha'alois olaych es tohoim l'skin. Rebbe Tishon, we had this before. Hashem is going to call to the Yam, and Hashem is going to tell the Yam, the sea, to flood the nation of Tsar and to wash out to the sea all of its assets, all of the earth, all of the artificial things that have been imported into this land, until it remains a dry, smooth, rock hard land. So when I call, when I cause the tohoim, the sea to ascend, v'chisuch hamayim harabim, and the abundant water will cover you. Let's do another pasuk. Pasuk chaf, v'chayraditich el yerdevar. I'm going to bring you down into those who descend into the pits, el am oilam, until the am, the nation of the world, which basically means into your grave. Am ola means all the nations of the world, everyone eventually ends up into the pit. Okay?
Like the dustbin of history?
The dustbin of history. Well, that's a more of a drush. I think here it literally means into the grave. The grave is a bar, and in the grave, who goes? The whole world, the olam. Every single living person in this world will eventually end up into the pit. It's where the olam goes, and am, it's am over here, means the totality of the world. The whole world can be viewed as one great am. And this whole one great am will eventually go down. Isn't that very inspiring? Very very depressing? Am olam, v'yehoyeshavtich, v'eretz tachtiyos, I'm going to establish you in the lowland. Ki choravos v'olam, as if you were destroyed from time immemorial. And I repeat, el yardei var, to those who descend in the pit, l'man lo seishevi, you will no longer be established. V'nosati tzvi, and I will put my beauty, the eretz chayim, in the land of life. In other words, the beauty that was thus in your land will be removed and be transferred to Yerushalayim, to Eretz Yisrael, like we said before, imalo ha-charava, that these two cannot coexist. If one is dominant, the other one is in a state of... Tzvi means beauty. Let's see the Mefarshim. Different interpretation. Let's see the Mefarshim. These two psukim together. We have two psukim. Pasuk Yutes and Chaf. We're going to do it together. There's a lot of this. I'm eventually in the Midrashim about Trias HaMesim here in this Pasuk. There's a lot of secrets here in this Pasuk. Pasuk Yutes first and then to the start. The Pasuk begins in the Mitzudos B'siti. Be'eis etein asach liyos ir nechareves doima ke'arim ha'shalom nisyavshu b'chozik me'olam. When I destroy you, it's going to be as if you never existed. The Eis Yalalech, when is this going to happen? When I cause there to be a tsunami and I cause the land to be flooded. The Eis Yalalech es hatohoim umayim rabim yichasuch uritzon olemar kishiyavo alech amim rabim la'abed oisach, and I cause the nations, when I inspire them, to attack you and to destroy you. Pasukhof vehos vehoyraditich, I will bring you down. Oz oirid oisach el sha'or yordevar el ha'am hashechnim shame oilam liyos kimoisam. So here the Mitzvah says, I'm going to cause you to become a third world nation. You're going to be a loser, just like all of the other losers in this world. What?
A no world
nation. You're going to be like the Am Olam. That's going to be nothing, no significance. And then he says, I'm going to put you into the grave. First, I'm going to bring you down to into the Am Olam. Descend you, Yordevar, and then he says the next expression means the Eretz Tachtios, the earth below is the grave. This is an expression. The place that has been destroyed from time immemorial is the grave. The Kafal Hadav Mula Shinas Keder Chamalitza. These are expressions. If you ask me, you would say there are really three expressions here. There are three different ways to describe a grave. It's the bar, El Am Oilam, and it's the Eretz Tachtiyos, and number three, it's the Choravos Me Oilam. Okay, three different ways to describe a cemetery. Put that on the title of cemetery, three different...
Any one of them may be inferred, like Sheol or something like that?
Doesn't say, the other terms. That Sheol is also a pit.
Different.
So here there are three different connotations of the grave. Next, es yor devar. Then at the end, the pasuk repeats itself. Yor devar im shor yor devar v'shav lohem l'man lo seishevi v'tolema ha'hayroda tia be'oifin shalot tia oid miyushavus li'olam mekimeisim ha'shalot yoshu al pnei adama. Once they're dead, they're not coming back. No one ever came back to tell us what's going on over there. Gone is gone. V'nasati tzvi. Now, what does this mean? I will place my tzvi. Now, look at the mitsudos. See, there is no mitsudos here. Tzvi means hachemda vehehodor etain the eretz chayim. The beauty that thus far existed in Tsar will now be transferred to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Chaim, vihi Eretz Yisrael, hakruya kein al shem shebo yichyu hameisim bizman hatechiya. So here he's getting into more of a medrash approach to the pasuk, is that Tsar is a place of death. There is no techiyas hameisim. It's tripled in death. Three different terms describing the grave. In contrast, Yerushalayim imolo hacharava, is the place of life, not just ordinary life, but even techiyas hameisim. Ritzon leimar, loikish.
Saying here that Tsur was had a hadar, had some beauty.
It did, absolutely.
Where do we see that beside him?
Where do we see that? So that Tsar had beauty. Well, if Tsar was the one.
Such beauty that all of it left and went to Yerushalayim.
Yeah, that's what it says. That's exactly what it says here in this pasuk. V'nasati tzvi be'eretz chayim, the beauty will be transferred to the land of life, to Yerushalayim. It seems, say, is that Kadosh Baruch Hu has decreed there has to be beauty. There must be beauty in this world. The question is, where will it go? Will it, this, that's the way Hashem made. Will the beauty go to Yerushalayim? Or will the beauty? It says the 9, 10 column of beauty were given to the world. Nine was given to Yafel, and Yafes to Yavan, and one was given to the rest of the world. So here that was Yavan, and over here Yafes. Over here this Tsar. How do we reconcile that with Tsar? I don't know. You find different dimensions of beauty, but it's true. Yaft elokim liyafes, but Chazal said the yishgoim be'ohol eshem. The beauty of Yafes shall be used to beautify Shem.
He's talking about beauty in terms of culture and
they have what to offer. Yes, so it says that the beauty will be given to the land of Tchi, which we saw in the Leimar. Loi kish shechosh v'tzor shehi t'molei mecharvos Yerushalayim. This goes back to the theme of Molei Harva. Not like Tsar thought. Tsar thought that now that Yerushalayim has been destroyed, so now all of the wealth of Yerushalayim, the beauty, will now come to Tsar. They were next in line to be the financial center of the world. Big mistake. From making such a statement, for rejoicing over the Chum of Yerushalayim, not only was it not so that the wealth of Yerushalayim will not come to you, Adarabba, whatever beauty and wealth that you have will be given to Yerushalayim eventually. Ki nahapoichu shehi toivat, it will be destroyed. V'chol hehador yiyabon, all of the beauty will go to Yerushalayim. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yitzchak says, be'haloitz olaych es tohoim. Be'asokusi alaych mishriyos amemin, when I cause to rise up against you the camps of the nations, disagiin, which are mighty, kime tehoima, like the sea, like the roar and the waves of the sea, v'yachafunich amemin sagin, and they will cover you, they will completely envelop you and wipe you out. So he takes the word over here that the yam is not to be taken literally. The tohoim does not mean literally the depths of the sea. It's a metaphor describing the nations of the world, which are very, very mighty. They will come, they will cover you, they will come to destroy you. Kain tirgam yonis v'chamash ma'oi batchila nitna biyadu v'chanetza v'seif olo hayam v'tiva. And like we learned originally, he's saying over here is that there are two things that really... Now he seems to be saying something different, is that there were two korbanos. First, it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, and after Nebuchadnezzar plundered the land, there was a natural disaster. The natural disaster was a tsunami which finished off Tsar and made it into dry, smooth rock land. That is the second interpretation. That's what Rashi says, but that's not what the Targum says. The Targum says there was no natural disaster. The Tohoim is a code word for other nations that also came to plunder and destroy Tsar. So you mentioned this yesterday. Tsar, according to some of the commentators, it does not exist. It sunk. Tsar today does not exist. The simplest thing is that it was an island. It was an island. It was possibly even an artificial island, and maybe it had some foundation, and it doesn't exist. It's sunk, or maybe it's there. We just don't know about it. We know about it, and what we call today Tyre is not the ancient Tsar. That is a city along the Mediterranean, along the coast, high up there, all the way in Lebanon, right? That's where it is, Lebanon. And that is a very big popular city. It was named after the ancient city Tsar that was an island somewhere in the middle of the Mediterranean. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Chaf, Es Yardei Bar, Im Yardei Gehinom, Gehenim. Okay, so the Yardei Bar refers to, you're going to go down to Gehenim, Im El Am Oilam, Im Shor Hu Umois Asher Sham Me Oilam, with all the other nations that are in Gehenim. Gehenim is very big. It's very, very big. There's plenty of room there. You think minivans are big? It's a very, very big place, Gehenim. I always tell you that joke from one of my relatives. He says, he lives in Lakewood, and he says, oh, this one moved to Lakewood. That one is leaving Flatbush, coming to Lakewood. This one sold his house in Muncie, is coming to Lakewood. Yeah, Lakewood. It's like a Gehenim. Everyone eventually makes their way there. Kocharova Yismeilam. What does this mean? Ke'arim asher charvu me'os, like cities that were destroyed from way back. Sidom v'chavroi seha. So here we have a direct reference point. Who are we referring to? Give an example that Tsar will take its place in history together with Sidom v'amor. V'nosati tzvi, the beauty that exists thus far in Tsar will be transferred to the land of the living. The beauty, Birushalayim. Let's see the Radak Pasuk Yitah says, Koyim Hashem Be'ke'erim Asheloi Noshavu Ki Kishanira Hasela Cholok Nira Shaloha Yasham Ir Yalam. When Hashem brings this tsunami and wipes out Tsar, it's as if it never existed. No one even knew that it existed. Behaloi Tzolaych Estohayim V'chisuch Hamayim Horabim Kofal Inyim B'mil Shoynes. We have over here, we have repetition. Ve'amar Lamala Mishtach Charamim Tiyeh. It's going to be a place where fishermen spread out their nets to dry. Kisui Hamayim Hayu L'shah Kisholu Hamayim Alu Ir Ve'olo Hayam Olo Ushetofa. First, the city was flooded. The Achar Kach, when the waters receded, Chazugale Hayam L'achar V'nisha Hasela Megula V'yavesh. And then it was dry rockland. The Yoinus Amtirgim Zederich Moshel Be'asakusi, the word Yam is not to be taken literally that it was the Tehoim, it was a flood. It means, like we said in Rashi, it means it was the mighty nations of the world conquered Tsar, Nebuchadnezzar, and then later Paras, Umadai, and who knows who else came to take a piece of the pie. Be'asakusi, Aloch Mishrios, Amamin, the Sagin, many mighty nations, Kimei Tehoim, they are like the waters of the Tehoim, the Yachafunich, Amamin, Sagin, and these mighty nations will cover and destroy you. Next words, V'choradetich El Yordivar, I will bring you down to the pit. Kiloimar, Toivdi min Oilam, Kimo Yordivar, V'choa Kever, you will die and descend to the grave. V'tegim Yenison, V'achasinich im Nechosei Goiv, Beis Avdono. Okay, so here he says something very interesting, very, very, very midrashic. Goyv. Who is Goyv? Those who go down, I'll bring you down in Nechosei Goyv. Goyv is a pit. Nechosei Goyv. Beis Avdono, I'll just bring you down to the grave. Okay, I think he's saying a similar expression, a translation, I'll bring you down into the pit with those who go down to a world of destruction. El am olam kolamar am shenesu me'olam hayom zman rav shenishchas gufam v'avad v'shav afar, to a people who have for a very long time been in the grave, their bodies have decayed, they've turned into dust. V'choyish shavtich be'eretz tachtiyos kilu at be'eretz tachtiyos v'chof l'inim b'lchazek l'man lo seishivish lo seishiyod. Repetition. And now comes a nice part of the pasuk. V'nosati tzvi. So he has a very nice translation. Tzvi means desire. Okay, tzvi, rotzain, desire. Upe'er is beauty. Be'eretz Yisrael, shehi eretz chayim. Shehayis simecho lecha al shenechavo. Tzar, you have committed the ultimate sin. You rejoiced over the defeat, the downfall of Eretz Yisrael. He toshav olukad Musa. You know what's going to happen? Yerushalayim will be restored. Shehi eretz chayim. It's the land of the living. Lufi Sha'amar al Tsar be'eretz tachtios. We have a contrast. She eretz meisim. She avdu min olam. On behebech al eretz yisrael. She eretz hachayim. There is a contrast. That Tsar is the land of the dead, and Yerushalayim is the land of the living. That Abaseinu Zal Darshu Eretz Shemeisecha Chayim. Now here is coming from the Medrash. We'll read the Gemara in a moment. Chazal Darsh and this, and they are a beautiful drasha. Shemeisecha Chayim. Kolaymar Shehameisim Bami Yisrael Yichyu Lema Lizman Tchias Hameisim. That those that are buried in Eretz Yisrael will be zoche to Tchias Hameisim. V'tirgim Yonasan V'yatein Chedval give joy ba'ara the Yisrael. He translates the word Tzvi, a new translation. I guess it really it's parallel to contrast to Charada. Terror is Chedva. It's a very interesting idea. Chedva, what is Chedva? Chedva is very similar to Charada. What's the difference? They both mean to shake. You shake. But Charada is you shake in fear. Chedva is you shake in joy. Happiness. It's when a person is here, such good news, like you wake up. You wake up and your whole body shakes in joy. So that's the contrast. The Tzvi is that in contrast to the world being shuddering in terror over the Churban of Tsar, in Yerushalayim they'll also be shaking one day in joy of Tchias HaMeisim. This is very, this part, let's read the Gemara, this part is what we're talking about, the Maila being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because we don't, no one knows what this means. It's impossible to know what this means, but we have a tradition that those that are buried in Eretz Yisrael will have an earlier Tchias HaMeisim, or a less painful Tchias HaMeisim. What?
A shorter trip.
Gilgal Atzamas. They're not going to have to travel. Yaakov Avinu demanded that he not be buried in Mitzrayim. He was afraid he would be a deity. And he also did not want to suffer the Gilgal Atzamas, the rolling of the bones. The rolling of the bones from Chutz Liaretz to Eretz Yisrael. We have no idea what all of this means. Some also want to say that in time, the person will have more of an opportunity to live. If a person is buried in Eretz Yisrael, there is going to be a Techiyah that will precede the Techiyah that will come in all of the other lands. So you'll have more of an opportunity to do mitzvos in this world a second time around. What does that mean? We do not know. The Yerushalmi, on the other hand, says that a person who does not live in Eretz Yisrael should not be buried in Eretz Yisrael. It's not fair. What are you coming to contaminate my land? The land is a land of tahara, of purity, of purity. If you live in Chutz Liaretz and you die in Chutz Liaretz, your body is tameh. So now you're going to instruct your family to take your body, that is a source, avi avoy satoma, it's the avi avoy satoma, and have the avi avoy satoma be brought into the holy land to contaminate the land of tahara, a chutzpah. What right do you have to contaminate the land? Rav Palm, Zeichel Tzaddik, did not. That's one of the reasons why he did not want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. There, Rabbi Reisman has a shir. Rabbi Reisman had a discussion with Rav Palm about being buried in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Palm said to him that you have to take into consideration what it says in the Yerushalmi. And if you did not live in Eretz Yisrael, it's not so poshut that you have a right to go demand that you should be buried, because what right do you have to contaminate the land by bringing your body, which is avi avay satoma, to the land? If you live in Eretz Yisrael, I'm entitled. That's where I live. I live there. I'm entitled to die there and to be buried there. And the Mela, I'll be zoicha to all of the milas of Tchias HaMeisim that come to Eretz Yisrael before Chutz Eretz. But if you don't live there, so
the
what right?
Chassidim,
what?
To die.
Exactly. So therefore, what is the solution? Those who very much want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So either, first of all, you live there a little bit. You know, a person has an apartment. Person can afford, has an apartment. Or better, you have children who live in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, that's the ultimate. That's the ultimate. You have children who live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's already your one foot in the door. You're a resident. I've given the ultimate to the land. Or let's say even that, you give a lot of tzedakah. A person who doesn't have children living in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't have an apartment, but it's very, and he wants to be buried in the land, it's very kedai that he should give us significant support, should give, do something significant to support Eretz Yisrael, and that way he has a chelik in the land, and that takes away the stigma of the Yerushalmi. Today it's very popular, it's expensive, it's supposed to be a hoin rav to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Just the whole process of go, but today you see a lot of people. It's not people. They buy carp in Eretz Yisrael, and Acham Eve Ashrim, they are buried. And they had very little to do with Eretz Yisrael. They had very little to do. That's not necessarily the right thing to do. If a person is in that situation, you won't be buried in Eretz Yisrael, and you can afford to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, it's proper in advance to prepare to have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael in life in some significant way. Have children live in Eretz Yisrael, you visit the Eretz Yisrael, you have an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, you spend this some time of the year, or at least you support institutions. You support institutions in Eretz Yisrael. That already gives you a right to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, because that's weird to a lot. I mean who's going to come to the Kavarim in America? I mean, Klal Yisrael to travel. Look at Europe. Look at all the Kavarim in Europe. I mean, it's a very big mystery. Where are all the Kavarim of all the people that died from the time of the Bayis Sheni until now? What was the population of the Jews? How many Jews lived from the time of the Bayis Sheni until World War II? Until people settled in 1948, 1945, 44, 45, they came to America. How many people lived? It must have been many, many millions. Maybe even 50 million. What 100 million? I don't know the numbers. From the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni until the end of World War II, how many Jews lived in the world? In Europe, in Poland, in Europe, in Russia, in all the various settlements, Spain, where did they live? There must have been 50 million, 100 million, maybe more. Where are all the bodies? Where are all the cemeteries? Does not add up to even a fraction. Doesn't add up even to a fraction.
In Prague itself, you're talking about levels. The cemetery in Prague is
levels. Levels?
Double stack, triple stack.
Yeah, you have to say that. It does, but there's something missing. There's the numbers, the math does not add up.
Mass
grave, that's what you have to say. But even the mass graves, they're not even recorded.
Yeah, all those places.
What?
So what's some of them?
And the numbers add up? I'm not saying this on my own. I've read about this. It's a mystery. There are cemeteries. In Achanami, there are cemeteries. There are big numbers. But the numbers don't add up. Okay, in Achanami. But this is the ultimate place is Eretz Yisrael. Now let's see what something that. Let me read you over here. We conclude with the Gemara. I'll read you the Gemara. The Gemara says, Omar... is spooky stuff here. Okay, Omar, this comes from the Gemara Ovos Drabenu Nosan. No, the Gemara Ksubis. First Gemara Ksubis. Omar Abinos Elozar. Mesim Shebuchutz Laoretz, Einam Chayim Betriyasa Mesim. Shocking. Someone that is buried in Chutz Laoretz will not merit Triyasa Mesim. How do I know this? What?
Shouldn't say buried, said he died.
Mason, the dead, Shebechutz La'aretz. Those are the words of the Gemara. The Mason, Shebechutz La'aretz, Einam Chayim. They will not live. Shenemar, this pasuk, the pasuk that we just read today. Vinosati, Tzvi, the Eretz Chayim. And the Gemara darshins, Eretz, the land, Shetzivyoini, Ba, where my beauty is present, Hashem says. The Eretz shows the land where Hashem's beauty is present. Meseha Chayim. It's dead. Will come to life. She'ein tziv yoini ba, the lands where my beauty is not present, ein meisecha chayim. This is the chiddush of Rabbi Elazar. Masiv, Rabbi Abba, Bar Mama, really? How can you say that? It's pasuk in Yeshaya says, yichyu meisecha, nevelasi yikumun. It says in the pasuk, may your dead, Yeshaya is mispalel, may the dead come alive, may my corpse, may it stand up once again, and he's not differentiating between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Liaretz. My love, Yichyu Meisecha Meisim Shabi. When he more wants to make a drush, there's repetition in the pasuk. It says twice, Yichyu Meisecha, and then it says Nivei Losi Yikumun. The first part of the pasuk refers to Eretz Yisrael, and the second part refers to Golus. My love, Yichyu Meisecha Meisim Shabi Eretz Yisrael Nivei Losi Yikumun Meisim Shabi Chutz Liaretz. So it says Beferish in Yeshaya, we make a drush that even the dead of Chutz Liaretz will merit Chiyas HaNesin. What then does it mean in the Pasuk V'nosati Tzvi B'Yeretz Chayim U'mai V'nosati Tzvi B'Yeretz Chayim? What this means is Anevuchanetzar Hu D'Chsiv. That refers to Nebuchadnezzar. What does it mean? Rachmanim may my sina alayu malka dekhalil kitavya. I will bring upon you a king which is very quick and like a deer. In other words, I will. This pasuk does not mean this pasuk that we just read. V'nasati tzvi bi'eretz chayim. It has nothing to do with Tchiyas HaMeisin. It refers to the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the Churban of Yerushalayim. And the Tzvi, according to this interpretation of the Gemara, according to this Man D'Yamar, refers to Nevuchadnezzar. Nevuchadnezzar is called the deer. Why is he the deer? He was quick. He was swift. He was efficient in destroying Yerushalayim. I will bring Nevuchadnezzar upon the land of the living, referring to Eretz Yisrael, to conquer the land. It has nothing to do with the concept of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Tchiyas HaMeisim is true, is in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutzos, in the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Now the Gemara goes further. Omar, Lei, Rabbi Lozer said back, Rebbe, Mikra Ani Darish, Noisei Neshama Le'om Oleha, V'ruach Le'holchim Boh. There's another pasuk. The pasuk says that I will give my neshama to those who live aleha. Tchiyas HaMeisim will only be to the people who live upon the land. So not in other lands. So the Gemara then asks the question: Rabbi Elazar, tzaddik and shevchus haaretz ein l'chaim. The Gemara is very disturbed. How could that be? So therefore, Rabbi Elazar maintains his position. He says, "I have two pesukim that prove that I am right. The pasuk we learned today, and the pasuk, another pasuk that says that I will give a neshama laholchim oleha." And don't tell me the pasuk in Yeshaya. I don't interpret that pasuk. So the Gemara stands back, and the Gemara says, "Really, Rabbi Elazar, are you really serious that it's not going to be Tchiyas HaMeisim for the people who died in Chutz Liaretz?" So the Gemara says, "No." He retracts. Amar Rabbi Elazar. And what it means is, here's the Yesod al Yedei Gilgul Chavat Samais. Of course, there's going to be Tchiyas HaMeisim for the dead in Chutz Liaretz, but it means they're not going to come to life in Chutz Liaretz. They're first going to have to be transported to Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael they will come alive. So the people who are buried in Chutz Liaretz, they're not going to come out of their graves in Chutz Liaretz and get on a plane to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's not the way it's going to be. The bones are going to roll or going to be transported first to Eretz Yisrael and come to life in Eretz Yisrael. So there's no Tchiyas HaMeisim in Chutz Liaretz. It's not going to have people coming out of their graves in Chutz Liaretz. Maybe that's why in Chutz Liaretz it's standing. In Eretz Yisrael, the graves are flat. It doesn't make any sense. Next. A lot of things I say are total nonsense, as you all know. Okay. And then the Gemara gives another interpretation. Then there's another interpretation that says, first. Yeah, how long is first? So listen to this. Some say, 40 days. That's the entire advantage. 40 days. That if you live in Eretz, if you bury in Eretz Yisrael, you will have Tchiyas HaMeisim 40 days before your counterparts of those living in Chutz Liaretz. And the Yesham, some say 40 years.
40 years.
Years, yes. And it says, Medesh Tanchuma, 40 years. Then we have one more Chazal, Asar Nikru Chayim. There are 10 things that are called life, Eretz Yisrael, Nikru Chayim. And one of the things called life, Eretz Yisrael. So the bottom line over here is, there are three Yisaitis. From Chazal about the pasuk of Nasati Eretz Venasati Tzvi the Eretz Chayim, the Pshutish also reviewed the Yisodos. No one's Pshutish Olmeka means that the beauty that was present in the nation of Tzor will be delivered to Yerushalayim. Im Aloha Harava Kishazek Kam Zenoifel, the beauty will be transferred. Number two, we have a new interpretation. The Nasati Tzvi refers to the Nebuchadnezzar. He was swift like a deer. He will attack. He will come upon Yerushalayim, that is called the land of the Tzvi, Eretz Chayim. Third interpretation is that this pasuk teaches us that there is going to be techias hamesim in Eretz Yisrael. It is the land that tzivyonoi, the beauty of Hashem, is found, and that's where there's going to be techias hamesim relative to all other lands. What does this mean? It means that all of the dead will have to be transported here first in order to be zochah techias hamesim. The second idea is that they will merit techias hamesim first, either 40 days or 40 years.
This pasuk is actually an answer to the question.
Yeah.
Why is it called Eretz Tzvi?
The land of the...
Because it's like Eretz Tzvi, which stretches.
Stretches, yeah.
So when Mashiach comes,
it's
going to
expand.
The
whole world, that's a chiddush. That's a pretty chiddush.